WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Tang from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you
and it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, Twitch.tv/WTALive. You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RockRadioShow, or come to Twitch.tv/WTALive, interact with us live during the show. By the way, chat, make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel. YouTube.com/RockRadioShow.
Ding.
Because, content's dropping next week.
It is.
I have a legit spreadsheet of things I want to do.
You have a legit spreadsheet?
I do.
Good lord. What song is this?
Think about it. Keep rolling, rolling, rolling.
Oh!
The 8-bit version.
It's like this sounds vaguely familiar to me, but it's at the same time, it's like I don't recognize this at all.
Because it's in honor of one of the topics we're talking about here in the first half of the show.
It is. It is.
Okay, chat. We're talking about the big major story in the back half. Okay?
Yeah, we're talking about the rumors in the back half. We're talking about all of the things
that happened
then.
Last night. Everything that happened last night in the back half.
So, if you want to stay, you have to, or if you want to talk about the big news, you have to wait until the back half of the show to talk about it. So, just FYI.
Yes.
But I say we don't waste time and we jump right into news brought to our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211 because, oh my gosh, did stuff happen this week. And we have to talk about the big news that broke today. Which is that Vince McMahon did an interview on Pat McAfee's show.
He did.
And it was, in fact, Vincent Kennedy McMahon. It was not Mr. McMahon. So it was nice to see Vince. It's been a long time since we've actually gotten to, like, see him and not the character. It's a great watch. Everybody go listen to it. Vince was very candid. He had a lot of fun. It actually went long because he was having so much fun. And he was also, like, 15 minutes late. So, you know, like you do.
By the way, he hates being praised, number one, and Pat would always just praise him and kiss his ass, which was fantastic, by the way.
Vince McMahon does not have a praise kink, confirmed.
But, yeah, Vince told things. Vince was very honest and open and truthful about, you know, who he is and how he sees things. So if you want to really know the inside in Vince McMahon, where he never gets tired, as he said, seldom gets tired. You know, he works out at 1:30 in the morning and finishes at 3.
I've heard that about him. I've heard he does midnight workouts. I've heard that about that man.
Yeah. It. But hearing him talk about it, yeah. He does it for his mental health more than his physical health.
I could see that because at like 1:30 in the morning, there's nobody there to bother him. Like, that's the thing. Because I always heard that about like Hunter and Steph too, that like Hunter and Steph worked out at like midnight.
Yeah.
Because no one was awake, no one was there to bother them, they could just do it. Because if you think about it during the day, like especially during business hours, Vince can't just go to the gym because somebody always needs something from him, so he's probably constantly getting interrupted. So like for him, it's like the gym is like his zen zone.
Yeah, that's basically what it boiled down to be, yeah.
So it's like for him, going to the gym is, this is my time to do what I want to do, which is, in his case, work out. So yeah, I can completely respect that he does it at 1:30 in the morning. It's insane to me that he does it at 1:30 in the morning, but seeing as how busy he is during the day, I can completely get that, like, yes, this is my time. Nobody's going to interrupt me. I can just go do my thing. And it's cool. And I don't have a problem with that at all.
No, it's just fascinating to listen to. So if you're a fan of Vince, go listen to the interview. But he had some big news on the show. The first one was about the Hall of Fame.
I'm so happy it's Vince. So Vince announced that he is in fact inducting The Undertaker into the Hall of Fame. This is right. This is what it should have been. I know everybody's like Kane, and I'm sure Mark loves Glenn very much. In a completely platonic way. But at the same time, for me, it needs to be Vince. Like, Taker is just one of those really special talents. He's a once-in-a-generation, once-in-a-lifetime kind of talent. And he's done so much for the company across 30 years. Like, he has been that guy. He was one of the guys that stayed. Like, he ride or died Vince during the Monday Night War. So it's like, yeah, Taker should be one of the ones that Vince personally inducts, because that's one of his boys.
So it goes, Undertaker, of course, is going to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to have the distinction of inducting him into the Hall of Fame. It will be one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life. I like the guy. I love the guy. We've known each other for so many years and been through all kinds of situations. When you live on the road like that, you have your family at home, but when you live on the road, you have to have a family on the road, and people you can count on and rely on. That are loyal and trustworthy, and not have to look over your shoulder. He's that kind of guy. He's an extraordinary human being and one of the all-time greats in the ring. As a human being, I could talk about the character, and it won't bug me at all. In my mind, I'm thinking, when I'm inducting him, I know who he is. That's tough when you know someone that close and you care about him so much. It's going to be one of the most difficult things I've ever done.
Vince, spill the tea. Do it. Do it.
Like he can talk about the character all he wants, but when he has that fine line of talk about Taker and Mark, is going to be interesting.
Spill the tea. Do it. We've all waited for this so hard. Like just do the thing, Vince. Just talk about Mark. It's okay. We will all respect you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Like I'm completely fine with this. But no, it's cool because, like I said, Taker should be one of the ones inducted by Vince because there aren't many. I think he's only done it.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin was the only one.
Because Vince McMahon, this is not about Vince. He doesn't want the Hall of Fame to be about him. You know the whole thing. He never wants to be thanked at the Hall of Fame. He doesn't want to be mentioned. No one's supposed to mention Vince because Vince is the guy behind the scenes not to be mentioned. So when he did it for Austin, it was a huge deal. This is a huge deal.
Because again, Austin was one of those talents for him where he was once in a lifetime. And Austin did so much for that company in terms of carrying them through the Attitude Era, carrying the company to victory in the Monday Night Wars. Like, Austin basically was the clutch.
He helped save the company.
He helped save the company. So yeah, he's one of the ones that, yes, Vince absolutely should do the induction. It's like Dwayne. Dwayne should get Vince. I don't know if he will, but Dwayne should get Vince.
Because the only one who would be for Dwayne would be Foley.
Foley, I could see Hunter doing it because Hunter has that rivalry and they have that friendship. I could see it being Mick, but yeah, I mean, it's like there are a series of talents that they're very, very special to that company, and they do deserve, while they don't deserve to go in by themselves, because to me, no one deserves to go in by themselves. Like, nobody is that above that they get their own class. I know a lot of arguments were made for Taker, and it's like, I can respect it, but at the same time, it's like, I don't think that's anything Taker would want.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. I shouldn't say I've never met the man. I've met the man twice.
Name dropping.
And an autograph signing. Anyway, it wasn't anything special. Anyway.
Wow. Meeting Undertaker wasn't anything special. Quote it, Chad. Just quote that.
Special, but it wasn't like I had dinner with him or anything. I ran into him.
Yes, you did.
He's like a wall. Solid wall.
But meeting the Undertaker wasn't anything special.
Lord. Anyway, moving on. I'm going to leg you later. Anyway, there's no Taker command. I think the distinction, instead of getting your own class, to my point, is that you get Vince. And I'm sure there will be other talents that get Vince. I don't know how many more, because he just doesn't do it for everybody. But yeah, in this instance, Vince inducting Taker is absolutely appropriate. Taker said it on the last ride that basically Vince is family, right? And they've been together for 30 years. And Vince said it in the interview, Taker is one of those guys that he can explicitly trust. Like, he doesn't have to babysit him. He knows Mark's got his back, which is pretty fucking epic in the wrestling business.
Yeah, there's only a handful of them.
And Mark has done everything he can to take care of WWE, and so in turn, I think now they're going to pay him back by, number one, having Vince do the induction, which is nowhere near payback, but it's a start. So I'm looking forward to this speech.
Hall of Fame night is going to be fun.
It's kind of almost worth, like, trying to get tickets and go now, if there's still tickets left, but I don't want to fly to Dallas. So I'll just watch it on TV, like, everyone else. Also coming out of the interview with Pat McAfee, Vince McMahon offered Pat McAfee a match at WrestleMania. It was not against him, but it was a match at Mania.
It was. So here's a quote. I want to offer you something. I know you love what we do and you're part of the team. Big time. People in the organization really enjoy you. Fans all over the world really enjoy you being you. You can't find anyone, I can't imagine back in the day, Bob Costa standing up on the desk and dancing. You're you, and that's why it works. With that, I'd like to offer you an opportunity to actually wrestle at WrestleMania. In the ring, it would be different than you playing for the Colts. You were the punter. Down the ring, you're going to be a linebacker, said Vince McMahon. McAfee goes, there's been chatter on the internet about me getting back in the ring and then wrestling WrestleMania. I've had so many conflicted feelings because I'm out of shape. There's a lot of vitamins that go into these lungs. WrestleMania is the standard. I would love to. We'll find a worthy opponent for you and put you in the ring. I don't bullshit. I don't do that, said Vince. It's something. Hopefully it's Austin Theory or someone not named McMahon.
I will say it was interesting, just the one comment he made, though, about working with family and how perhaps he is a little too hard on working with family. Mm-hmm. And I have to wonder if that is the result of recent rumors that have been going around about Hunter and about Shane, and even some of the stuff that that Stephanie has talked about, you know, growing up with Vince and working with Vince, that, you know, he's never been, like, abusive to her, but, you know, basically what I get from Vince is that he can be a very difficult person to work for because he has very exacting standards. And he's one of those people that he wants it done his way. It's not that your way is necessarily wrong. It's just his way is his way, and that's what he wants. So that can be that those can be hard people to work for.
Yeah.
And Vince also strikes me as the type of person as, fuck it, I'll just do it myself. Like, he has an idea, he can't really, you know, trust anybody with it, so I'll just do it myself. Like, that's the vibe I get off of him. And again, I can completely respect that because I'm the same way. So, that can be difficult to deal with sometimes. So, I could see how, yeah, it's sometimes working with your family, especially when they're trying to do their best and maybe they're not quite getting it, can be challenging. And there have been a lot of rumors swirling about Vince and Shane having another fallout. And, you know, there are all the questions about Hunter's health. And is he really okay? Because I think there are a lot of concerns about Hunter, even though, you know, he's been, like, out and about and going to Hamilton and that kind of thing. It's worthy to note that his, the manager of global talent strategy and development, who's also kind of his right hand in the company, his executive assistant, Lizette Panetta. So sorry if I said your name wrong, was let go by the company. So the fact that they've let her go kind of indicates that potentially Hunter is not coming back.
Anytime soon.
But he may never come back. He may be retired. Like, perma-retired from business and wrestling and everything. Which, if he is, good on him.
Yeah. So the quote was, you have to be objective and, you know, and look at family members or whoever it is as you would other employees. And quite frankly, I probably expected more, you know, out of my family members, which is probably not the right thing to say. But nonetheless, it's like, you have to do the right thing for business. So if the person's not working out, then they shouldn't be a part of the company. Because they was talking about the succession plan, what's to come.
Because I think a lot of people are expecting Stephanie and Hunter to take it over. And now that may not be the case. No. And it may not be Shane. It could be a non-McMahon that takes over WWE.
In 20 years,
you know, when Vince finally decides that maybe he wants to retire. But it's a really good interview. I would strongly recommend that anybody who's curious about it, go watch it.
Yeah.
Because if nothing else, it's just Vince. And you get to see him, which we don't get to see Vince a lot. We get to see Mr. McMahon, but we don't get to see Vince. And Vince is a cool guy.
Vince was very down to earth, very, he was very transparent in his thinking. You don't have to agree with his thinking, because there's a lot of it you don't agree with, but at least you hear it and understand this is his perspective, and that's all that matters. If you understand his reasoning, some of it's like, you know, people are family, but at some point, when it comes to cutting talents, if they're not working out, you just have to do it. Even if you like the person a lot, it's the way it is. So it's really
a business. It's not
right.
It's not personal. It's not we're going to target you and call you out. It's
business.
Look, yeah, it's like, look, we like you, but you're just not doing what we need you to do, and we're going to have to let you go.
Oh, one other thing. So it was like one other thing that he brought up. He loves confrontation.
I'm not shocked.
He loves physical confrontation.
I'm not shocked at that.
And when Pat had to respond to that, the nervousness in his voice was fantastic. Like, you could tell he was like, Vince's gonna attack me, save me.
I don't want to fight you, Vince.
Because he brought up the different companies and AEW and stuff like that. And Vince's like, I like competition. I like physical competition. And yeah. Let's go watch it. It's on Pat McAfee's YouTube channel. It's about 2 hours and 15 minutes in.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So moving on from that, WWE and A&E have agreed to a multi-year deal, including 130 hours of new content. And you know what that includes?
What?
WWE's Lost Treasures.
All right. WWE is also is producing 24 new episodes of WWE's Most Wanted Treasures, which will air over multiple seasons. The partnership also includes 35 new episodes of biography WWE Legends. A&E has also ordered 40 hours of a new series currently titled WWE Rivals. The show will chronicle the little-known stories behind the biggest clashes in WWE history. The episodes will include insights from those who are part of the rivalries that often extend beyond the ring, and the camera's additional programming is also in development. So yeah, that's 130 plus hours in a multi-year deal.
They also re-signed Top Dollar for...
No, they have not.
No, they have not?
He's under contract for multiple seasons. They never re-signed him. He's hoping to be brought back for it.
Okay, all right, that's where the confusion. I thought no, because it was like they only did the one season of it, and so I thought they re-signed him for multiple seasons of.
No, he's under contract to WWE Studios for that. If they choose to use him, that's on them. If not, they'll find someone else. He's hopeful to be used again. Okay, so that's where it is.
All right. So moving on from that, WWE will host a multi-day talent tryout exclusively for current and recently graduated college athletes as part of WrestleMania weekend in Dallas. So check that out.
Yeah, there's more information on WWE's Twitter and website. Go try. If you are a college athlete, go try out in Dallas. See what it takes. They had it. This is a first. They had people in Indianapolis where the combine was scouting talent.
Wow.
Talking to the guys who may not be drafted or low-end draft picks. Hey, instead of going there, come to us. So they were talking to people.
They're scouting talent. And, you know, speaking of WrestleMania week and weekend, I think this is cool. I think this is really cool. I feel like this would be somebody's dream come true. So 2K announced today that WWE 2K22 is going to sponsor a contest called Match Made in Heaven. And it's offering one lucky couple a wedding bash that hits different. Starting March 3rd, couples can submit a video sharing why they deserve to be united in matrimony. Great pun. To potentially win a dream WWE-themed wedding celebration at WrestleMania 38. Dude!
All right, so the...
Dude!
All right, there's more details. So the winning couple will receive a pay trip for six to Dallas, Texas to attend the most stupendous two-night WrestleMania in history. 2K will throw the winners a WWE-themed wedding bash at WrestleMania weekend with a prize bundle that also includes a reception, photographer, music, and a wedding cake and special guests in attendance, including Ronnie 2K and WWE superstars. The submission period begins at 12 p.m. PT on March 3rd, so it's already started, and ends on March 14th at 11:59 p.m. PT. How to enter? Submit a video, tweet, or post to Twitter or Instagram telling us why you and your tag team partner are the ultimate match made in heaven. Submissions must be 90 seconds or less in length and include the WWE 2K hashtag WWE2K22 and hashtag match made in heaven in the hashtags. By the way, Chad, if you didn't know, WWE 2K22, the next installment of WWE's 2K franchise is set to launch on March 11th, 2022, with a redesigned game engine, new controls, stunning graphics, and all new game modes. For more information, go to the official website or Facebook page and find out more.
Ding, or, you know, tune in to certain Twitches at a certain point.
The early release is March 8th. Night streams. Anyway. Also, a review next week on this show.
It hits different.
It hits different.
Quick congratulations, speaking of wedding news, to Ivy Nile. She is engaged. Hey, maybe she can get the wedding party at WrestleMania. That's pretty cool. And in less happy news, WWE is joining a lot of companies in the embargo against Russia, where they have terminated their partnership with the Russian broadcaster Match, and the WWE Network has been shut down. So, they are not a supporter of the current actions going on over there, and good on them for it.
Indeed.
Moving on to AEW. AEW is set to debut on the West Coast. Dynamite will be taking place from the Forum in Inglewood on Wednesday, June 1st. Rampage will be on June 3rd, and it's going to be at the Toyota Arena, so get your tickets soon.
Tickets go on sale, I believe, tomorrow. There's been some pre-sale options because this is the follow-up to Double or Nothing. So the Dynamite will be the fallout to Double or Nothing. From the Forum in Inglewood, I think it holds like 17,000 people, so it should be a big event.
It should be a big event, so go get your ticket. And in other news, Matthew Reinholdt, a.k.a. Aiden English, will replace D'Lo Brown as the Impact Wrestling commentator. D'Lo remains the talent relations and producer.
Yeah.
So, congratulations to Matthew Reinholdt. NXT?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, blame Brent.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulder snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
I forgot to add the scene, so we didn't switch to it. Okay.
So, Alex Zane, this sounds painful, a ruptured globe.
Hashtag blame Brent.
So, for people wondering where that is, that's something in your eye.
That's gotta be hell.
He had glass removed from his eye.
That's gotta be hell.
Yeah.
Scott Hall broke his hip.
Hashtag blame Brent.
So hopefully he feels better. And then Amari Miller suffered a concussion.
Hashtag blame Brent.
She tweeted out that she's okay and she's doing fine and let's keep the positivity going. But yeah, so I'm sorry to hear that for all of them. I hope they all feel better. NXT?
Now we can jump down to NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
This was an interesting show.
It was an interesting show. So the show opened with Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa taking on Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. One, Ciampa coming out in the Steiner Brothers-esque gear was tremendous, looking like Bron Breakker. That was good.
That was good.
And then we're making his grand return to NXT, not as a cameraman, but as a wrestler. We got a glorious spot.
Like you do.
Oh, the old music. Oh, I missed that music. That was great music.
It's so good.
So it's really good. We had some callback stuff. We had Ciampa and Breakker doing the pat on the back spot. Sitting on the ring apron. We had a Steiner Brothers finisher at one point. This was good.
This is really good. I like how they're like I said on Monday, bridging this feud between the two shows, and you have kind of Braun getting a rub out of it, and you know, as Tommaso is leaving NXT and going up to the main roster, so they're making Braun in the process, and who knows, Braun could go with him, and they're doing that for both of them now. But I really like how they're doing this feud overall. I don't think it's like the hottest or the greatest thing, like there's not a lot of story there, but the way that they're just kind of bridging the gap is really nice.
They're using Ziggler to poke the bear, kind of.
Yeah, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what you want. So, awesome stuff there.
There was a moment later in the show where Ziggler was being interviewed, I think, or Ciampa was being interviewed. Ziggler, one of them interrupted, and Ziggler was being interviewed, and Ciampa interrupted, and then Bron Breakker interrupted, and it's like, you know, Ziggler was poking the bear, and it now turns into a three-way match next week for the title at NXT Roadblock. We brought back Roadblock. You know, it's the Roadblock to WrestleMania.
Always awkward.
So, yeah. So, LA Knight is in the ring talking about everything that's gone down between him and Grayson Waller, talking about how they first originally met when he was supposed to be, the winner got to be the host of one of the NXT specials. And basically, there's a challenge issued for a last man standing matchup, and it'll happen next week.
I liked this. I liked how they did this. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Indy and Persia were in their locker room getting ready, and Persia was up too busy on her phone, not focused about everything going on, because she's, you know, talking to somebody, a.k.a. Duke Hudson. So it led to Indy and Persia taking on Dakota Kai and Wendy Chu in a Dustin Rhodes Tag Team Classic match. Solid match.
This is good. I like how they're building it. Like, especially with India and Persia. Like, I like how they did that.
So Dakota and Wendy are moving on, and there's some more tension between Indy and Persia, because Persia's off with Duke, while Indy can't get a hold of Dexter.
Where's Dexter?
He's mad because of last week with all the things about, you know, possibly her being with him in the past and, you know, all that stuff. Then we had Lash Legend beat Amari Miller. This was an awkward match. This is where she suffered the concussion. Lash Legend got the win.
This, I don't want to say anything bad about this, but this was not what I would call wonderful.
Developmental territory. This was developmental at its finest.
I think it was a good first start.
Lash Legend needs work.
Yeah. Like, I think it was a good first attempt, but I don't think it was necessarily the greatest thing I've ever seen. But it was solid.
Briggs and Jensen were backstage, and I forget, one of them's making a comment about a big behind or something like that. Big caboose or big whatever. And Electra Lopez walked by, and she thought they were talking about her and her big ass. And no, we're talking about this truck and how I want this big truck. And it was something.
It was there. It was a thing. It happened.
Gunther take on Soa Sioka.
This was good.
Yeah.
This was really good.
Okay. We need to talk about Gunther. I can call him Gunther because Walter doesn't exist anymore.
What specifically are we talking about? That he hits like a fucking Mack truck?
That he's lost so much weight.
That too.
Like, the Walter we knew is no longer there. This is a lean, mean Gunther. Like, he's he came to the States single and ready to mingle, even though he's in a relationship. He's ready to be on, you know, WWE US TV with the shape he's in right now.
Well, I mean, you know, his the girlfriend got him into shape, you know. She took away the strudel and, you know, got him into shape.
She took away the strudel and then got the strudel. Anyway, such an easy setup. Gunther would get the win.
Yeah. And he had a nice, had a nice promo after this too, talking about his loss to Gunther. I think he put it out on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And for his recovery.
Okay. Harlan beat Draco Anthony.
I don't want to talk about it.
Dusty Rhodes Classic continued for Cal Gonzalez and Cora Jade took on Ulyssa Leon and Valentina Feroz? I don't know. Can't pronounce names. Some weird names. In a Dusty Rhodes Classic match, Jade and Gonzalez got the win. Quick little match.
Yeah, it was quick. It was solid.
Tiffany Stratton walked by as Saray was talking to people, and then she got beat up, and then it looks like we're getting a match between the two at some point.
I didn't like this.
No.
I really didn't care for this at all. This was such high school bullshit.
That's basically what it was, yeah.
And I guess because if you're going for a younger demo, it might resonate, but this was just like, Saray's like, no, I don't want to borrow yours, and Tiffany's like, nobody says no to me, slam! It's like, chill. It's not that serious.
But it is serious.
I mean, I can't get into Tiffany Stratton. I'm sorry. I can't. I don't connect with the character. I like Saray. I think Saray's cute. And I want to see more of what they're doing with Saray, but this did not work for me at all.
Tony D'Angelo was basically doing a rebound promo coming off of everything that went on with Peter Dune, and said he'll become a made man at Stand Deliver, and his opponent will sleep with the fishes. We then had Von Wagner taking on Andre Chase. Solid match.
I was really kind of surprised this was the main event.
No, was it?
This was good, but I feel like Gunther versus...
No, this wasn't the main event. The NXT North American title was the main event.
Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, Von Wagner got the win.
They're building Von, which is good. I still don't quite understand what they're doing with Andre Chase or what that whole thing is. Because I just don't really see it having a long shelf life to me, because it's okay, he's a teacher at Andre Chase U or Chase U, so what comes next? Like, that's the thing, is like, you've established him and he has this group and they have flags and they're basically like a college, so what comes next? Who do they fight? Who does he fight?
If he actually gets a legitimate group where he's the teacher leading his students and work sort of like the Diamond Mine, it could work. If he becomes like the mouthpiece for the group, and he's the one building new students to go along with him, it would work.
It would totally work. Like, I feel like he's more of a solid, like, character mouthpiece, like you said, than, like, a wrestler. He's a fine wrestler. He's perfectly legit, but, like, I just feel like in terms of the character that he's portraying, it doesn't make sense that he's wrestling. It should make more sense that he's teaching people wrestling, because that's the whole basis of the gimmick, is that he's teaching people wrestling, at least his wrestling. So, like, that's why I say I don't really understand what's next for him. And I think we're kind of at the stage with a lot of the characters that were introduced a few months ago that, okay, we're now familiar with them. We kind of know what's up. What's the next step? Where are they going from here? So I think for a lot of people, we're ready to go to that next point, and they're not quite going there yet. So let's turn the corner.
But someone who is there is North American Championship on the line, Carmella Hayes, Peter Dune. Really good main event. Carmelo Hayes is really finding a groove right now.
He's hitting his stride. This was fantastic. I enjoyed this very, very much, even though I forgot it was the main event. I would watch this again. I'd be fine with that.
Peter Dune came up on the short end, Carmelo Hayes retained, and then announced that at Stand and Deliver, he'll be defending his title in a ladder match. So that should be a lot of fun.
That should be a lot of fun.
But that was NXT.
So with that, I say we take our first break and only break. What do you say?
Sounds like a good idea.
All right. So when we come back, chat, we are going to be talking the big news that broke Wednesday night. That's right. Tony Khan purchased ROH, and we're going to break it down for you and talk to you all about it after the break. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Bang! Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight to Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, The Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Stetson.
There is no one better at covering AIDS. Than CB Radio Not So Live. Join Sir Rockin, the intern and lone jobber as they go all elite. With their breakdowns of every AEW pay-per-view event. CB Radio Not So Live available after every AEW pay-per-view. At wildtalkradio.com and cbradiolive.com.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bell Twins, and you're listening to The Rack Radio Show. Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, hang out and chat, listen to the archive. We are happy to have you. Any way we can get you, you can also follow the channel, because I forgot that one. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Koi Dao. I've been playing Elden Ring for over 30 hours and have not found a single ring, Elden or otherwise. 0-10 game. Koi Dao. If you call it self-care, then it legally isn't tax evasion. Matt Mitchell. Any of you crazy people still have trash bags full of gas from last year? I'll take a 13-gallon hefty bag of regular unleaded. This one is a matter of debate. Matt Mitchell. People say the South is boring, but I dare y'all to find this kind of entertainment in New York City. And it's a picture of a post that says, double wide just took out the northbound light out at Taco Bell. So is that they're transporting the double wide, or is it weather related?
Not sure.
Don't know. But those are the questions you ask in the South. Anyway, that's all I have.
Okay. So Corey Graves has a new reality show on the YouTubes. It ended today. It was on for a week. Congratulations to Corey and Kamala. So Sports Kita goes, W. Graves is clear here. What is your favorite Corey Graves match? Corey Graves goes, here, Twitter, I'll handle this. None of them. He always sucked. He sucks at commentary, too. He should be fired and set on fire. Did I miss anything? Kevin Owens tweeted, you know what's ironic? WrestleMania 6 took place in one of the best places in the world, but KO Mania 6 is taking place in one of the worst places ever. What a shame. Shawn Michaels. Toronto, Dallas, Boston, Seattle, New York, Orlando, Atlanta, wherever WrestleMania is, it's the place to make your name. Kevin. Thanks for the advice, Sean. From now on, I shall be referred to as Mr. KO Mania. Perfect. Also, thanks for pointing out 6 specific places better than Texas. Dallas, Texas. And yes, wherever is also better than Dallas, Texas.
I love Kevin's feud with Dallas. Like, I just love Kevin's feud with Texas. He's just so mad at it.
Kevin Owens, attention, Texas. This is the best anyone's ever looked in a stupid cowboy hat. You're welcome. Sincerely, not really, KO. JBL, from the country of Texas, this is akin to mag wheels on a dump truck. As we say in the great state, all hat, no cattle. Please stay north of the Red River, Oklahoma. Might want you. We don't. Sincerely, the country of Texas.
It's a country now?
Kevin Owens, oh no, the country, not a country, of Texas doesn't want me? How will I ever sleep again? Question marks. P.S. You know I rocked that hat in a way you never could. Just accept it. P.P.S. Like you better as Justin Hawk Bradshaw.
Damn.
Al Snow, FYI, prostitutes will not take chocolate-colored ice cream as payment. Apparently, there are limits to what someone will do for a Klondike bar. Who knew? Such a terrible joke. Johnny Gargano, one lesson that I've already learned the hard way about taking care of a newborn. Don't take a pre-workout. You'll go to start your workout, and then they'll start crying, and you'll end up having the most intense diaper-changing, bottle-feeding, rocking, back-into-sleep session ever. Oh, Johnny.
He's learning.
Ian Riccaboni. Wait. I was watching the Sixers. Wait. I have a lot of text now. The what happened? Do I follow Tony Khan now, or does that come across weird? Somebody help me here. I haven't dated since 2010, and haven't looked for a wrestling job since 2014, when ROH came calling. Maybe a little bit too late for you. All right, so I have a clip from the Pat McAfee show that I need to play.
Okay.
Because it sets up a tweet. Let me unmute this. We do this. Here we go.
Michael Cole, 25 years into this thing. Right. Almost.
Horrible human being.
Jesus just fell. No batteries, dude. Oh, my.
Really. And you knew that, too. Like, you know, persona and everything is all well and good, but just a really horrible.
So you've had, obviously, a lot different experience with him than us.
Bailey. I've been telling y'all. Oh, he ragged on Michael Golick. He's such a horrible human being. It was fantastic. But that's Tweet of the Week.
Actually, I have a late entry.
You have a late entry? Okay.
So, Funko Pop released pops of the Travelers, male and female, and Paimon. They're coming soon. Go reserve yours now. Everybody pressure Brent into buying Paimon, please. Thank you. Zach Aguilar, who is the voice of the Traveler, says, ask and you shall receive. Koi Dao, yet another lack I have to cope with. Zach Aguilar, but do you have a pop figure? Koi goes, I'm glad I chose Lamine. Zach Aguilar, I'm keeping Albedo at level 1. Koi is the voice of Albedo, by the way. Koi responds, they ask how you are, and you just have to say that you're fine, but you're really not fine, but you can't just get into it because they would never understand. I love their friendship so much.
It's fantastic.
It's amazing.
Okay. So now we're done? Tweet of the Week?
We're done.
Okay. So last night on AEW Dynamite, Tony Khan said this.
It's something big, and I really appreciate you all being here. You know, when we started AEW 3 years ago, it was out in that parking lot. And I know a lot of you were here at the very beginning, out there, at the very beginning. Well, it was about 17 years before that, another wrestling company started, a wrestling company known as ROH. Ring of Honor. And I've been a fan of Ring of Honor for a long time, a huge fan. So you can imagine I'm very excited because today I signed a deal. I just became the new owner of Ring of Honor. Shane's not here. There's no Shane. It's me. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Ring of Honor, 20 years ago, last week, they...
Okay, so that's enough of that. Okay, so it's been bugging me all day, and I kind of figured out why this whole thing was bothering me.
Hmm.
So, this promo, how he's yelling in this promo, reminded me of an old promo. Did you ever watch ECW One Night Stand?
If I did, I don't remember it.
Okay, Chet, if you all remember ECW One Night Stand, when Rob Van Dam came to the ring and to cut his promo, he sounds a lot like Tony Khan's yelling, because RVD was yelling. I have to find the audio at some point. I was looking on YouTube and I couldn't find it, so it's probably on the network on Peacock, but I can't pull that up here. Like,
We'll get sued,
but it sounded so much like it. Anyway, so yes, now there's the big news. It's not a TV deal, it was not a streaming deal, it was, in fact, Tony Khan has purchased Ring of Honor Wrestling, not AEW. The key phrase in that is Tony Khan bought Ring of Honor.
It's really interesting how this is all kind of starting to pan out, and there aren't a ton of details in terms of the deal. What we have heard is that it was made late, or is finalized late yesterday, that they've been working on it for the last few weeks. And when Tony started to tease the announcement, obviously they were very close. And Tony made sure that everything was buttoned up and ready to go for when he went on TV, because that would be really big if, like, he couldn't make the announcement. So he ensured that it was done so he could make the announcement that he's been teasing for the last few weeks.
Okay.
And he did buy the company. He has bought the video library, the...
I can have the whole thing here.
Okay.
Tony Khan has agreed to acquire the assets of Ring of Honor Wrestling Entertainment LLC from Sinclair Broadcasting Group, including the promotion's extensive video library dating back to 2002, brand assets, intellectual property, production equipment, and more. This deal adds thousands of hours of content to our rapidly growing library and creates new opportunities to expand our footprint on a national global scale, and while having the potential to produce new content under the ROH banner. I will immediately begin exploring opportunities to make the ROH's video library available to fans who have the opportunity to witness the beginnings of the careers of some of AEW's biggest stars. He then names about 40 members of his roster, some of which you wouldn't realize were in Ring of Honor, and some of which you don't even know work for AEW. Like BJ Whitmer, who knew? Or no one knew if Sunshine Dot works backstage, but hey, here we are. And Keith Lee, and who's been with your company for a week, and Griff Garrison, who probably worked dark matches for Ring of Honor, but hey, there he is. it's funny. Okay.
Basically, Tony has the heart and soul of ROH already under contract.
Pretty much. So, there's many things that come out of it. The acquisition will be completed through an entity that is wholly owned by Tony Khan. Further details about the extent of the acquisition will be announced in the coming week. Okay. So, that's all the legal yada, yada, yada from the press release that they sent out at 10:15 last night.
Yeah, so...
Or 8:15, my bad.
Yeah, one thing to note is that this does have to go through all the proper channels. So the deal is signed, it's not closed. And that's a big difference, and a lot can happen in between the deal getting signed and getting closed, but I fully expect the sale to go through with no problems, as Sinclair is eager, I think, to get rid of ROH because they are financially taking a hit right now, so... any money that they can bring in for a subsidiary is good for them. And Tony is eager to acquire it. He wants it. So I don't, unless the government's like, no, you can't have it because of competition, which would be weird, then they'll be fine.
It would be weird if AEW and Ring of Honor were publicly traded companies, and they're not. They're privately owned companies. And AEW is not buying the company. It's Tony.
Yeah, but it's Tony in part owns AEW, so it's a competition thing. But because ROH is defunct, it's... I don't think it's going to be much of a problem.
People hate hearing that. People hate hearing ROH is defunct, even though it's... Yeah, it is, but it isn't.
The best way I can describe ROH is that it's essentially in Chapter 11 bankruptcy. That's the best comparison that I can make for it, where they're essentially restructuring the company, or they were restructuring the company, because basically it was bankrupt, and that's why it was shut down, was it was generating no money, and they were just broke. And so they let all the talent go, they let all the staff go, which was really unfortunate. And they've been attempting to try to bring it back in some form. They did have a show scheduled, I believe in April, nobody knows if that's going to go.
That is going to go.
That is going to go. That's been confirmed.
That is going to go. As of today, it is going to happen on April 1st in Dallas, Texas.
April Fool's Day.
Like, that was the big thing when it was announced. They're returning on April Fool's Day. Okay. Which is the funny thing. To correct Ash, they're not actually in bankruptcy. They're not in actual Chapter 7 or Chapter 11. She's just comparing it. They're not actually in that. Nothing was ever filed because the company who owns them never filed it. But the company itself wasn't generating enough income for them. They were looking to sell it off, which is why they released all their talent and restructured the company to where, before this deal went through, they were only going to use workers on a per-show basis, that no one was actually going to get a physical contract from Ring of Honor for like a year or two. It was per-date deals.
Yeah.
All handshake, here's the money, boom. It's not like they didn't have money. The company has money. Sinclair has money. Even though they're bleeding money on acquisitions, they still have money. She was just making a comparison.
Basically, Sinclair made a really, really bad deal. And now they're paying for it, and so they're trying to do what they can to recoup that poor investment.
And for what that was they bought a lot of regional sports networks, and they bought them either right before the pandemic started.
Right before it was before the pandemic happened, and then like all sports got canceled, and they just got fucked.
Mainly baseball. Thanks, Lindsay, for canceling baseball. By the way,
look, I'm sorry that the Braves won the World Series and broke baseball. That's not my fault, okay? Like, the curse was lifted. I don't know what to tell you.
It's all
there's a price for everything.
We know what Chapter 7 is.
Yeah, I know what Chapter 7 is. But this isn't Chapter 7. This wouldn't be considered Chapter 7 because it wasn't ROH liquidating their stuff where it was sold off either piecemeal or together. This was Sinclair shut ROH down and restructured them. So technically that would be more on the lines of Chapter 11. And then they shopped the company because they wanted to get rid of it. They weren't interested in doing anything else with it. It wasn't profitable. So it's like, look, we're going to get rid of everything that's holding us down right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are a lot of other subsidiaries coming out of Sinclair that are sold, whether it's TV stations, whether it's sports networks, whether it's whatever. Sinclair, it seems like, is trying to offload anything that's like weighing them down. As I said, they're trimming the fat off so they can potentially help to save the main part of the company. So that's what they're doing. And it's like they know that Tony was interested and they know that Vince was interested. And I think both got offers for it, or they were both presented with the opportunity and Tony bit at the opportunity to buy ROH.
So WWE put in some feelers back in December, but nothing. There was no formal offer was made. Coincidentally, years ago, I think it was 2018,
Hunter wanted to buy it.
Huh? That's what I was going to say. Triple H was looking to have WWE buy Ring of Honor, but it never got anywhere from that point. Because Sinclair at that point was not looking to sell because they were actually looking to expand Ring of Honor coming out of 18 and 19, heading right before the pandemic.
there were plans to do more with the brand. But then the pandemic hit and that all came crashing down.
Pandemic just screwed everybody, man.
It really did. So that's topics for another point.
What will be interesting to watch with this is what Tony intends on doing with ROH. Because I think that is the one thing that nobody is really sure of, is what he plans to do with it. Because he has AEW, and AEW's running strong. Is he going to merge ROH into AEW? Is he going to have it to be like a subsidiary? Or some people are saying it could be a developmental brand, which if he turns ROH into a developmental brand, that's interesting. I'm not sure I can agree with that. But that it's his choice. It's not mine. But I think it's kind of a slap in the face, personally.
I want to talk about that when you're done. The developmental thing, but continue.
You know, is he going, there's rumors that he may potentially try to run it as a second business. I can't see why he would do that. It doesn't make sense to run two rival wrestling companies against each other. Or he could just have bought it for the tape library, which I think is more than likely the best case scenario and probably the strongest scenario for this, because he has, as we've seen, a lot of ROH talent. They can use that in video packages. And he bought the intellectual rights. He bought the branding rights, which means they can have ROH all over their TV and nobody's going to sue them.
What?
Which is helpful. He doesn't have to ask permission to use it because he owns it.
He owns that, yes. But would TBS be happy with it?
Well, we'll see, but the other side of it, too, is they can pick up the pay-per-view names, and they can use the event names and carry those forward, kind of like what WWE did with WCW. It's a very similar strategy, but I think what he's planning to do, and this is all pure speculation, is that there have been rumors that he's trying to work a deal with HBO Max, and unfortunately, AEW does not have enough content in their library to warrant doing anything with HBO Max. They have about 2 years.
I want to interrupt you. It just took to 11:10 for Ring of Honor to tweet you out. Agreement reached for ROH to acquire AEW.
Oh my God, they're the Internet Explorer of the wrestling community. Jesus Christ.
They just tweet, like legit, they just tweeted about it.
How much you want to bet they had to find somebody that still has access to the Twitter? That's what had to happen. Like, nobody knew who had access to the Twitter still.
They finally made an article on their website. Because I looked yesterday and there wasn't. And all they did was put the press release on the website. It took 24 hours. Oh, God.
Anyway, so Tony, there's been rumors that Tony's been trying to work a deal with HBO Max.
And is in talks. He's very interested in streaming, and he's been working on coming up with a streaming deal for the company.
But they just don't have the content. So purchasing a video library of 17 to 20 years worth of TV that can be put on HBO Max makes him a much more enticing partner to work with.
Yeah,
there's
20 years of content between television, live events, pay-per-views, etc.
And it's attractive to HBO Max because it brings in the wrestling audience, which is something they don't think they have. Because Tony can partner it with AEW and he can kind of get more exposure. He's basically trying to work a deal similar to what WWE has with Peacock.
Hold on. Think about this. Those archives are going to be hard to put on an HBO Max, though. Really thinking about it, there's going to be okay, so
they're going to have to be completely digitized.
That's not what I'm talking about. That's going to be have to run through, like, lawyers are going to have to sit through 20 years of content because yep. of music license.
Music licensing, they're going to have to look for branding, if there's any, like, station or network branding on there, they're going to have to take that off or scrub it. Any logos they don't have access to, they're going to have to scrub.
Yeah, but it's mainly music, because if you think about what they did to the HBO archives, not HBO, because they're just all in chat, ECW archives on the network, it's all generic music.
Yeah,
like
because they didn't have the licensing rights.
ECW never had licensing rights, and for a long time, Ring of Honor was not. The last few years, they've been using their own music, but the early days, I have a whole folder of ROH music. They didn't own that music.
It's also interesting to note that HBO Max is Warner right now, but it's in the process of being sold to Discovery. So Tony can work the deal, can try to work their deal right now, and if he can get it in before Warner fully sells, then he's good. But if he can't get it done before it goes to Discovery, then he might be in another world of hurt. And then because I don't know if Warner is going to be cool with it anyway, because now he's going on a rival network. He's going to be working with Discovery and Turner/TBS.
No, wait, is Warner's merging with Discovery, right?
Warner is selling HBO Max and a few of their other channels to Discovery. Basically, AT&T, hold on, I looked
night. I'm looking up. AT&T, Warner Media Division, home to streaming HBO Max and Warner Brothers Movie Studios. Close to a deal to merge with Discovery in the second quarter. That means, which will create a new company to be named Warner Brothers Discovery. So they're buying it.
That's terrible. That's a terrible company name.
Yeah. The plan to combine Warner Media with Discovery is one in a parade of recent media deal making. All combining, so streaming video has never been more popular, yada, yada, yada. So I think they're acquiring Discovery.
I heard it was the other way around. I heard Discovery was buying Warner, or parts of Warner. No, because AT&T doesn't know what to do with it. I heard AT&T selling it, and they're getting rid of it.
Anyway, either way, they're merging.
I don't know who's buying who. We'll find out. But, yeah, so it will be interesting to see how that all pans out. But I think the million-dollar question, like we said, is what is he going to do with it now that he has it? And you wanted to talk about the developmental stuff, so talk about the developmental stuff.
Well, because now I'm thinking about it. Warner's keeping HBO Max because they just signed a deal with Live Sports that's going to air on Turner. So they're keeping HBO Max as a tie-in. So they're getting Discovery.
They could transfer it, though. All that can be transferred.
I know, but like but that was just announced. So that was announced after the merger stuff.
I don't think they are. I don't think they're buying Discovery, because I think Discovery is worth more than... Hold on.
You go look at that up. So developmental. So there's talk about the developmental idea of using Ring of Honor as a developmental territory for AEW going forward. There even... Rumor, speculation, and Kool-Aid drinkers around the world hoping that the evil Cody Rhodes that they wanted to boo stays and becomes the booker of Ring of Honor. that happens. I don't understand things, but whatever. But the idea of them using Ring of Honor as a developmental brand territory for AEW kind of rubs people the wrong way. It rubs me the wrong way, because now you're treating the 20-year legacy of this company that, in your words, I'm getting the words, the most prestigious promotion, independent professional wrestling's most prestigious promotion, and then you're going to use them as a developmental brand territory for your other company.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Yeah.
Discovery's going to have shareholder vote, and Discovery's chief executive is taking over the combined company. Discovery's buying Warner.
Oh, so Discovery's buying everything. So that includes Turner, the Turner channels.
Yeah, so they've cleared. So the deal has cleared the antitrust scrutiny. So they are now set to close within the next 2 to 3 months. They've satisfied the closing conditions. So when closed, the deal will create one of the biggest media companies in the country, combining the assets of HBO, Warner Brothers Television and Film Studios, and sports-heavy TNT and TBS networks with Discovery's enormous library of nonfiction programming, which includes Oprah Winfrey's own, HGTV, The Food Network, and Animal Planet.
Okay, so that's... Okay. So they're still... The channel still stays the same. So it's still the same.
Yeah, so it's not going to be... They're not going to have any competition. It's all just going to go under the new name.
It's the same company, basically.
Yeah. So it'll all be under the same company, which could be good for AEW, because if they can get crossovers on Discovery's channels, maybe, that would be cool. But it also makes me wonder if Discovery is going to be as welcoming of the product as it is right now, or if they're going to kind of suggest that maybe the product clean it up.
Because Discovery is very G-rated.
Discovery is very family friendly. They do have some edgier stuff, I think, but for the most part, they're exceptionally family friendly. So it will be interesting to see how AEW fits into Discovery. But anyway, I'm sorry, continue.
But yeah, so going back to the developmental thing, isn't that what's supposed to be dark and dark elevation? We're supposed to be the way to get your talent going. And the whole premise about AEW was less dates, more opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're using Ring of Honor as developmental, territory, that means you have to run shows under the branding. And he says in the press release, potential to run stuff under the brand. Why didn't you just start your own AEW dark house shows? Why didn't you create your own touring brand? Because with it, like, that's the part that makes no sense of you calling it developmental. I think it's very, very nice to talk about how this is for the fans. I think in his mind, he's doing something great. He's bringing Ring of Honor to a bigger scale. He's going to let people see their shows from the past and everything on a larger scale, whether he can get on HBO Max or Discovery, whatever it is going to be. That's a great idea in theory. But you have to wonder, is this a move that really is going to do the legacy of Ring of Honor any good in the long term? Like, Ring of Honor has came over the last, 5 years when they went to Sinclair, a regional wrestling company. They were not on a mainstream network. They were on a regional broadcasting network, which means there was no, hey, at 8 o'clock, we're watching Ring of Honor in every single city on the East Coast and West Coast. There was a select time slot for it. Ring of Honor would air whenever it could get on a certain day, a certain price, or a certain time in those specific markets where Sinclair had it. And it would have its fans. It drew a lot of fans. It draws a good rating as a regional network. But you don't hear anyone talking about it. Like, the only times people have talked about Ring of Honor in the last 6 months, closing down, their final show, and now. You didn't hear, like, there was no talk of, like, what their shows were about. There's no chatter, because what social media is good for these days is chatter, talking. It's an interesting experience when watching Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, or even Impact, and you see people talking about the show as it's airing. But when it's airing at 4 o'clock in the morning in one place and 11 o'clock in another, it just, like, it was never the talk of the town. And some say, oh, it's the third company. Yeah, in numbers, yes, because if you add everything up, yeah, it was third. Because Impact's not drawing what it once was. I don't know. I have a lot of qualms about it, what could happen with this company and how the long-term future. Yeah, it's cool. I bought this company because I needed a major announcement. I needed attention on my pay-per-view week, because you didn't have to announce this week, but you needed attention on the company to lead into your big show. I understand, hey, this opportunity is here, and he wanted to beat the reporters out there to break the story. He wanted to get it out before, like, if the deal was signed and then reporters got a hold of it, they would break it. He wanted to beat them. That's kind of what he does. Here's my big announcements. I want to break my own stories before everyone else does, because we saw what happened with Punk. We all knew about Punk and, you know, the big debut. And how the internet knew about it 3 weeks beforehand.
But it worked.
It worked. It did. That totally worked. I don't know. There's a lot of things with this that just make you go, maybe.
There's something about it that doesn't sit right with it.
No.
And I don't know why. But there's something about it that you just kind of sit here, and I don't know if it's that because there has been contention between AEW and ROH that this is very similar to WWE, WCW, when WWE bought WCW. Basically, because, like, ROH was the birthplace of AEW. ROH helped AEW get started. And then there were kind of problems between the two, and they never really played nice after that. And AEW did their thing, and ROH did their thing.
AEW took all the main talent ROH had and sort of poached them for the startup. They all left. The SCU, the Young Bucks, Cody, Omega, Paige. They left. They did all.
I was trying not to say that.
But that's what happened, though. That's legitimately what happened. They all left.
I was trying to keep it up and up.
No, it's the truth. It happened.
I know.
They left.
And so, go ahead.
They left and they took everyone with them. And then they became AEW. And then ROH had to rely on people, you know, younger talent. They rely on Jay Lethals and the Briscoes of the world to carry the brand, which is not bad. But they're not the stars that the Young Bucks were at the time, because the Young Bucks and the Cody Rhodes were the hot the hot acts going. The Bullet Club was running wild, brother. Anyway, continue.
Continue. So, like, it's kind of like Tony's like, okay, all right. As I was saying, AEW did their thing, ROH did their thing. The pandemic hit. And had the pandemic hit or not hit, I don't think this would have happened. Because ROH was doing all right. They weren't doing great. The Sinclair deal probably would have been fine. It wouldn't have gone belly up. ROH would probably still be with Sinclair. However, the pandemic did happen and it hurt ROH because ROH had to shut down. ROH was one of the ones that had shut down for the entirety of the pandemic. They came back and they could never really recover. And then the Sinclair deal happened and the Sinclair deal just tanked and here we are. So it very much has that feeling of Tony bought his competition and is now absorbing his competition. And it, like, to me, like I said, making ROH a developmental brand is a slap in the face to what the legacy of ROH really is. Because it's a very proud legacy. They were one of the first ones to go out there after WCW folded and try to do something different and try to get something off the ground. And for a long time, they were a legitimate number two, number three in the industry.
With TNA, because they both launched in the same period together.
Yeah, ROH and TNA were always kind of went head and head together and sort of went back and forth. And yeah, so it's like, I don't know, like, there's just something about it, and it's mainly because we don't know what he's going to do with it, he being Tony. So it's like, there's all this speculation, but I hope he doesn't turn it into a developmental brand. I hope he's not going to try to run it as a second company and compete against himself, because I just think that's a little weird. And if he does, I hope Cody doesn't show up to be like, aha, we all fooled you, aha.
Okay, what I need... AEW has never poached a single talent from WWE. WWE released a boatload of talent and they had needed a job. That's different than guys leaving at the end, right at the end of their contract and the next day showing up going, hey, we're starting this. Totally different thing.
We don't know if they fully poach. I mean, wrestlers talk, right? Like, people talk.
Right, but AEW's never poached an actual talent. They've all...
Yeah, no, because they can get sued for that.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, it's WWE's released over 100 people in the last 2 years, so...
They needed jobs, that's more... Like, when the talent left Ring of Honor, it was, hey, we got out of our deals to go do this thing, or our deals were coming right up, January 1st, boom, we signed die lines and we moved forward. It was expiration, signing. Everyone knew that was the plan, like... Here we are. There was a big talk up for like 4 months. Hey, our deals are coming up X. What are we going to do? Everyone knew they were starting their own promotion. Do we know what it was called? No. But once they did all in, we knew like, hey, this is the birthplace. If Tony Khan paid $40 million just for the rights for All In, he has more money to burn than we'll ever see in our lifetime.
Yeah, that's what I want to really know about this whole thing. Right now is like all the details. It's like what he's going to do with it. That's great. But no, I want to know what he paid for it. I really want to know that. I need to know that on some weird level of my soul. I don't know why, because I'm, I know why, because I'm stupidly curious as to what he paid for it and what the valuation of ROH really was at the time of the sale. Because we're hearing numbers of like $30 or $40 million for a company that is not running and has no talent under contract, and $30 to $40 million for
assets.
No TV, yeah, for assets essentially, for video library and brand assets and intellectual property and production equipment, among other things. Supposedly, I don't know if it values out at that. Granted, I am not a professional. I wouldn't know how to value that stuff. But to me, just thinking about it, it's like I don't think it would be worth $30 to $40 million.
No, because when you go back in 2002, 20 years ago, or 2001, 21 years ago, in like 3 weeks, Vince McMahon bought WCW. Going all the way back, I love this Shane line. Shane's not here. It's me. There's no Shane. It's me. I bought it. That was a great line. Nice callback. WWE bought WCW from Turner for $2.5 million. You can do the calculations what that would be here and here. Let's go 4 times that. $10 million, right?
No. I can tell you what it'd be. So in 2001, for $2.5 million, it would be $3,900,071.16.
So $4 million.
So yeah, essentially $4 million in today's money.
Not even, you can't even go to 10. You only go to 4.
That's why I have to wonder what, because they didn't say everything that he got. We know some items, so it's the question of what else did he get in the deal, and how much did he pay for it, and what is he going to do with it?
If he got a TV deal, that's great, but there's no mention anywhere of a TV deal, which means Sinclair is wiping their hands of the assets of Ring of Honor. There was talk of TV tapings, talk of continuing produced content. Who knows where that stands?
It's the syndication rights, too. Did he get the syndication rights for ROH?
Regional syndication is the actual term, syndication.
But that can't sit well with Turner, because that's a rival network. And especially as they're merging, do you really want one of your own content providers using syndication rights on another network for a property that he owns? Or, as Tony said, is he going to shop it with Warner/Discovery and see if he can get it syndicated on Warner/Discovery or get it on HBO Max? I feel like that's what he's actually doing with it, is he's just going to shop the content as a way. He's going to use it as a way to make money. That's purely what he's going to do with it. I think he just bought the... I think he bought it lock, stock, and barrel, because that's how it was sold to him. I don't think Sinclair was interested in piecemealing
it
out.
Oh, God, no. They're not in the wrestling business. They were in the content. What ROH was to them was content.
So it's...
So here's another thing with Ring of Honor and Sinclair. Sinclair has the rights to WOW. They're not going to want two wrestling shows on their network. So that was another reason Ring of Honor was available to go.
Yeah. So they probably sent Tony a message. Here's what we're offering. Here's what we want for it. Are you in or are you out? And that's probably how that goes. I'm sure there was some negotiating back and forth on both sides. But ultimately, it was probably a package deal, because Sinclair doesn't want to retain anything from ROH. They're just like, when they sell you the production equipment, they're done.
Yeah.
They're out. Like, that's the clear indicator, is the fact that they put the production equipment in the press release. So it's like the fact that they just sold them the cameras, the lights, the rings, the sets, everything.
Here's the key.
All of it.
Here's the keys to the truck. Here you go.
Yeah. Take it and get out of my face. That's an indicator that it's like it was a package deal and they wanted nothing. It could go on Discovery Plus, but I don't think it will. I'm pretty sure.
The reason for not Discovery Plus is blood.
Yeah, it's, again, Discovery is very PG, and they have a very specific image for Discovery Plus, and they are not going to put a show like AEW on Discovery Plus because of the cursing and the blood.
Or even Ring of Honor television, which was at times full of cursing and blood.
Yeah, they would have to basically select what could go on there and what couldn't. So if it's going to go on anywhere, it's going to go on Warner. More specifically TBS or Turner, because they have a better shot of getting it on for syndication than they do Discovery Plus. Like, yeah. That's the thing. But we could see, like, I don't know, Discovery may take a different approach, but they're pretty bubblegum, PG, family-friendly, wholesome content, and their cash cow is HGTV. So, and the HGTV cash cow is the Property Brothers. So, and the Gaineses.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, is it the Gaineses anymore? Yeah. I don't know, because Gaineses has their own...
They have their own network, dude.
Yeah.
And they're back in a big way.
They have a physical channel now.
Yeah, they have Magnolia Network. So, and they're doing Fixer Upper again, and she does a cooking show, and yeah, the Gaineses are back in a big way.
So, the one thing with Ring of Honor is, if Tony wants to run Ring of Honor as, like, one-off events, I can see that. Like, in like a I'll go with September. We'll take September. So take All Out Weekend, right? If he wanted to run a major Ring of Honor show in conjunction with an AEW show that entire weekend, hey, here's a big Ring of Honor show, and we rent the same building for the weekend. You run two different types of shows. That's one thing. But I can't, with all his work that he does, can he feasibly do it? Because He runs, he's Brenton like this part, but this part's going to help us out here in a really quick second. He is the CEO of AEW, the Chief Football Strategy Officer of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the GM Sporting Director of the Fulham FC. Those are his titles. Football right now is in the offseason, so it's not as heavy on him, but soccer and everything, whatever. He has three jobs. Adding a fourth, running a secondary company.
That's why I feel like he's not going to run it separately unless he gets someone to run it for him, or he's going to give up something, either the football, the soccer, or AEW. And that's why I kind of wonder if he isn't trying to get AEW in a really good place where he could potentially sell it. Because I think nothing is... I don't think anything is off the table for him.
Especially now.
Especially now. But he only owns a portion of AEW. He doesn't own it outright. So he's built AEW from scratch. He's gotten it in a really good place. He's getting ready to go into a TV deal negotiation in the next year. I feel like if he can secure a TV deal, a solid TV deal for AEW, that makes it all the more profitable for him to potentially sell it. I'm not saying he's going to, but Tony is looking to grow. That's very apparent. He's looking to take his next step. What that is, I don't know. I have no idea, but...
Can we talk about the one, like, logical, legal loophole that's weird right now? Deonna Purrazzo is the ROH champion who's under contract with Impact Wrestling.
I want to see how they figure that out.
Like, our Impact is running this it was semi, like, ROH invasion with Honor No More when they're actually, with, like, the ex-Ring of Honor talent coming in, Honor No More, and working with Impact. It was, like, a quote, a pseudo-invasion type thing, but not really. But at the same point, they ran, like, they had Kairi Sook in there, well, Ring of Honor, like, they were building up, like, this the big supercard of Honor where Deonna's going to defend the title and everything and make it a big show, a big deal. So I assume she's losing the belt.
They could either just vacate all the titles that are still active and say, as of now, any current title holders are officially vacated and all titles must be returned. And that's how they just get around it, is they just hard reset it. Or they could have her lose the title, like Tony could insist.
Drop it at Supercard. Probably.
Probably.
But it's just a weird, like, logistical loophole of it. Like, huh.
I don't think they're going to do anything right now because the deal has not gone through. When the deal goes through, that's when it's going to get really weird.
But but just think about it, it's kind of weird.
And there's a lot of time between now and then. Like I said, she could vacate. She could hold it. Shit, she could come over and defend it. Like, Impact could loan her to Tony. If he's going to run ROH shows, again, nobody knows. They're going to run the one on April 1 because it's already scheduled, but there's nothing scheduled after that. So it's, Tony's got to figure it out. After that shows runs, what he's going to do, and I think he's working on that now. So it's, is he going to run shows under the ROH banner? Is he just using it for content? Like, we don't know.
And they just created this whole, like, so ROH had this whole big plan of coming back, and this was before the Tony Khan discussions got really, like, big in place. They were coming back, they were going to run the one-off shows and do TV tapings with whoever they can find. They were also, they opened up their own Hall of Fame the coming year, and The Hall of Fame is going to happen very soon. I think it was supposed to happen at Supercard of Honor, I think. And they're putting Punk and Joe and Brian and the Briscoes in. It's so weird. Like, Ring of Honor had these plans, and now they're not. Like, so much is up in the air with it. I don't know. It's
weird, and we'll keep an eye on it, and we'll keep you posted on what all's going on with it, because Sinclair will have to post the details of the sale. Because they are a publicly traded company, so somebody will get a hold of that and release it, I'm sure, because everybody's probably watching for it in terms of how much, what Tony got for the sale, you know, basically what he purchased, and what Sinclair got for Ring of Honor, and anything else that they sold to him, because we don't know what else he bought with Ring of Honor. Could have just been that, could have been other things under the Sinclair banner, but... is definitely an interesting development in the wrestling world. We'll have to see where it goes.
Okay. Let's talk about it really quick. So far, in 2022, Ronda Rousey's come back. Cody's left AEW for now. Steve Austin is possibly returning to the ring. ROH just was bought out by AEW. It's March 3rd.
Weird times, man. Weird times.
Like, we're in such a strange period of time.
I'm really tired of living in interesting times. Can I live in uninteresting times, please? I don't really want to witness history anymore. I'm good. I've seen enough history for the last 2 years that I'm solid.
But I think we're done for the night.
I think we're done too. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, Midnight-ish. CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com. Before that, it's Fortnite with Friends. Duos Edition. What me and Lindsay will end up doing in Fortnite? Maybe we'll play the real game. Maybe we'll find a map. Who knows? Because Brent's leaving us. Social interactions.
Brent's going to a wedding, y'all.
He's leaving us for social interactions. Which means I gotta carry a show on Saturday, too. CB Radio.
Have fun with that.
Chad, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Help me. Sunday, there is no WTO Sunday night because me and Brent are watching AEW. Because on Monday night, following the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern, we'll be live with CB Radio Not So Live with me, Brent, and hopefully Jobber talking about AEW. So there's that. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. For The Rack. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. It's how or wherever you get your podcasts. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/rockradioshow. Go to lindsward.rockradioshow.com and subscribe to hers too, because it's all free, just do the thing. Because there's new content coming to our YouTube channel. If everything goes right, it's going to be daily content for a while.
Ding.
Because I have plans for content. Some of the content will be streamed right here at Twitch. And then turned into YouTube content. Some of it is just going to be YouTube exclusive. Ding. Next week we're going to review the things about the YouTube exclusive content. Ding. Live on this show, it's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. If you have Amazon Prime link to your account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKETSOCK or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store, where you can buy Naomi Osaka's new skin in the Fortnite item shop. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. You can follow my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Linz Ward. I am participating in the Genshin Impact 2.5 streamer event. So please, 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 please go follow the channel because it ends on March 17th. That's plenty of time to do it, but still, please go follow the channel. I would appreciate it. I stream Genshin Impact Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. and on the weekends when I have time. And I also will probably start streaming Fortnite, at least Fortnite with Friends, on the channel as well. So please check it out, follow the channel, enjoy, have fun. And yeah, and also, you know, use the creator code and all the other stuff. Follow the YouTube, lindsward.rackradioshow.com, and yeah. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211.
Hold on. And as a teaser, after she streams Genshin on Tuesday, we're probably streaming something later that night.
Yeah. I'm rolling on Tuesday. I'm going to roll for Raiden, but that's not the big announcement. I cannot talk about it, but there is something exclusive. Well, not exclusive, but there's something special coming to the Twitch channel.
On Tuesday, probably like 9:30, 10.
Late. It's coming late.
It's gonna be late.
There will be a night stream on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be a duo stream.
It's going to hit different, guys. Just saying.
And that's all we legally can say.
Yes. So, like I said, don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.